since we had Flo and Mary Magdalene on our show, we've been getting some very nice response, TJ. And I am so excited and totally honored once more to have Mary Magdalene and Flo here with us to do an interview today, TJ. Isn't that cool?
Oh, that's awesome. I looked at your site and I saw all the hits that people, a lot of people must have came and listened to the show. And then, of course, she now has her own website, Mary/Flo. Both have their own website, so that's kind of cool too. So we're ready to do more.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful site. And Flo, I'd love to welcome you back to the show. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Joy, and TJ. I'm very honored to be here as well.
You're welcome.
Yes. It's always awesome to have you. And, you know, I'm very excited about today's topic, if you can imagine. I understand that Mary would like to speak to us on children today, huh?
Absolutely. I was going to bed last evening, and a very clear message from her came about wanting to give the understandings that she has about how to not just work with children, but instill in them their understanding of themselves as light, and also to make it clear to them how they can use their own consciousness to direct their lives. So I'm very excited to hear what she has to say, yeah.
Oh, me too. And I know TJ is too. He's a new grandparent.
Yep.
He's got a little grandson now. Yes.
It's going to be a year pretty soon, coming up in end of March. He's a year old.
Oh, awesome.
So I know this information is going to be important for everyone. So if you're ready, how about if we tune in? And again, thank you. Many thanks to you and Mary Magdalene for being our very special guest, and can't wait to hear what she has to say. So, if you're ready?
Yes. Do you want me to just start, or do you want to have a question?
Sure. Why don't you, I know she has things she wants to share, so why don't we give her the floor, and then if she wants, I'll ask questions.
Okay, that sounds good. All right, I'm just going to breathe for a few moments, a few seconds here.
Okay.
Well, I am here again, and I would like to, first of all, in a very gracious way and with a grateful heart, thank both of you, TJ and Joy, for the opportunity to speak to the people who are ready to hear the words and to listen from their hearts. And I have journeyed very far in many lifetimes, obviously, not just one, to gather together understandings that would provide for humanity a backdrop to their actual experience with the, let us just say, the conflictual nature of human beings, to provide a backdrop so that there's something else to draw upon, something else to understand about, and to be connected to. So as I have said previously on this program and in other spaces, I am here as an activator, a generator, a catalyst for light. I carry the light matrix of consciousness, and I imprint it wherever I go. And those who know me and work with me in whatever capacity, and as we spoke last time, many people have different viewpoints of me. They have different belief systems around which I am either focused or not focused or included or not, you know. And so there are many diverse ways in which I am viewed. However, in my thinking about it, I think that the concept of me carrying light, being a light bearer, is pretty much what people would say they could agree upon. So in that instance, then, I would like to just use the light as a common carrier for this backdrop of how people can begin to view themselves, view me, and view the lineage of light and of their own purity, so that we can begin to create a vibration here on the planet that actually, in a symmetrical kind of way, back and forth, like a beautiful flow or wave, you know, would begin to move out from families, children, and conscious beings. The idea of their separation from each other, their separation from source and from light, and to begin to put together this idea that with them, they can carry light and then be in charge of their own life experience, their consciousness, the ways their body functions, and the health and welfare of their children. For example, individuals, I know, Joy, that you work with individuals who have come into contact with a large degree of separation on the fact or on the behavior of the elderly or more older people that children deal with. The people that they feel they could trust are so separate from their hearts that they are not helpful or creating and providing helpful experiences for the children in their care or with whom they come in contact. So to have children expanding their light base so that they are then not as vulnerable would be one thing I wish to speak about today. Another thing would be to activate the seed of light inside each soul through the birthing process, as we know from I Remember Union, that chapter that's there for people. We can send that if anyone is interested in birthing their child in the light, the bridge of light, you know. And then how to instill that bridge of light and that soul seed energy in children who have already made their transition into human form. And then to empower children when they are having the age of 2 and 3, when they are going through their tantrums phases, you know, to empower them through the installation of a seed of light point and an incarnative point, which I will also speak about today. So these are the three areas, perhaps, that I would like to talk about, if that is agreeable for you today.
Absolutely.
That is wonderful, Mary. Thank you.
All right. So the first thing to think about, obviously, is that we are light, and light we shall remain, and that is the promise of the conscious, let us say, template of this big hologram of this free will experiment. So we are each light. And there's no way that anyone can change that except for us to move away from the light so that we are not as conscious of it, or that we do not have as much relationship with it, or that we reject it, because free will actually does mean we can choose something or we can choose not to have something. So in each parent's mind at this moment, the first thing that we want to do is to make you aware of your own light so that then you're more conscious of your children's light and of your spouse's or significant other's light or friend or, you know, whatever, whomever is in your environment, parent, family, you know, anybody that's there, because we have all these different systems with different coordinates. You know, not everyone is a male father and a female mother and, you know, having this extended family of grandparents and uncles and aunts anymore, right? We are all over the globe now. So we want to understand that we can relate to any single individual that is in our environment as light and ourselves as light, no matter what age we are, and we can instill this consciousness. So if we would just for a moment put our fingertips right where the ribs come together in the center of the body, and we're just going to say a very simple affirmation, I am light and light I shall remain. We're going to say that 3 times. So no matter who you are that is listening, you have the opportunity to realign your own divinity in your body through these very simple words. I am light and light I shall remain. Now, while you're doing that, in the point of the fingertips being in the vortex there where there is the seed of light, we want to put the little finger and the ring fingers down into the solar plexus in a V. So we use those like 4 fingers, 2 of each hand, pointing down into that incarnative space, which we're going to call the solar plexus point of initiation. So we're going to say we're light in the seat of light, which is where the ribs come together a little bit higher, so we could use our index fingers and third fingers there. And then the fourth and little finger there, we're going to push down into the seat of our solar plexus, which is what we call the anchor of truth. It's our anchor of being available in this lifetime to have full presence. So we want to do this for ourselves so we can feel that. So let's do that together and just say out loud, I am light and light I shall remain. I am light and light I shall remain. I am light and light I shall remain.
I am light and light I shall remain.
I am light and light I shall remain.
Now, pushing into the two points that we're activating here, drop your shoulders down, relax your body, and in your third eye, right in your forehead, just see an eight-pointed star, like a starburst of light. All right, now this is for each parent or significant person in a child's life or anyone in the world, actually, to set their own life system in order with light, because that's the most important thing. All right, so then anyone who is expecting a child, birthing a child, involved in that process as a midwife or a doula or a significant other or a parent, grandmother, or whatever, a grandparent, these are the ways in which we can stabilize each field for each person. And what we want to remember, very, very important here, is that in order for a child to find their own light and be stable in that light, they really want to be completely involved in and encompassed by a container that has that affirmation of light in it. So that's why when working with someone who is coming for support in any way, the whole family system and orienting them to light is of utmost importance. Because then a container is formed around the child of safety, so that they are less vulnerable, they are more confident, but they are also broadcasting a very important message to those who might be unable to find their own light, and therefore finding light through the children. That is what, in my ideation here, abuse of children is about, actually seeking out their light, right? So what we want to do is we want to say, we're going to send this light out because it's going to be grounded fully in each child, and we're going to send it into the family, and we're going to hold a container of light in the family. And then individuals will feel that light, and they won't have to enter into a relationship with that system that is not healthy, because they'll feel the light, and they'll realize that the light is there, and they'll also realize that they are unable to penetrate that container in their normal way, or their, you know, the way that they have habitually done that, or even what you would say desired it, or had fantasies about it, or however might be the process. So we want to know that every human being, regardless of their behavior to the contrary, is seeking light. And to have that light within themselves, and to have the family system having light around it, is then a way to, let's just say, represent for each individual the fact that they can have their own light. They don't have to try to steal someone else's or utilize it in any way. So what it does is make each person responsible for their own health and well-being. It opens the gateway for individuals to understand that they do have divine light in them. And it also shows them that they do not have to be afraid of what light means for them. In other words, when they see a family spontaneously living their light, then instead of trying to take that light, they see it as a beacon of possibility for themselves. So that is a very important concept to understand when we think about individuals who have fallen off of the path of light in any way, that shining our light more brightly is the answer, not diminishing it. And of course, in response to any kind of conflictual energy or separation energy or energy of challenge, many of us, as we are human beings, then try to hide our light, and we try to protect it. So we put a bushel basket around it, you know, like that song from Sunday school, and you put the bushel basket around it, and then it makes it easier for people to take advantage of that because the light is not as bright. So it's just kind of an interesting irony that when there's a challenge, we sometimes hold ourselves more closely together, when what would be most effective is to expand ourselves out and to get as big as we can be and to shine our light in the darkest places. So that is a kind of message I'm bringing as well, shine your light in the darkest places. I will stop for a moment in case you have any questions or comments.
I love this. I particularly love this exercise because it's a very simple way to stop abuse. It's just beautiful, it's profound, and it's empowering for all parties involved. It's done without judgment, and there's no reason for anyone to feel threatened by doing it. It's just amazing. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you for this opportunity. I'm very, very grateful for this space, you know, to provide what I can, you know, for what is happening. Because as I look at the world, the distance that people are perceiving when they think of their light, it's so far away from them many times. And so there is no grace. You know, light brings grace, and it brings possibility, and it brings excitation, and it brings all the things that the soul thrives on. And that's why children are so, well, it's as if the child is an example of the way it can be. And so there's sometimes anger and resentment about that because it's been lost. You know, even parents who don't necessarily find it necessary or have it within them to abuse a child are sometimes just wanting a child to be quiet because there's just too much energy, too much excitation, and they're so tired. And so if we can bring the balance of energy and light to the parents and to have them as excited as their children so they can co-create these wonderful systems of light and share them with each other, it is just it's a different world then. So that's the opportunity that this brings. The other thing that's important, and I know that you know it, Joy, is that the incarnative point in the solar plexus, the V, moving down towards the bottom of the body or towards the earth, very important to seed that incarnative point strongly so that people come fully into their bodies and into this lifetime. Many, many times when there's distress or challenge, people leave, go away. You know, they're not there. They cannot deal with whatever's happening or there's a challenge or whatever. And so this actually brings the empowerment of the full strength of the lifetime. And, of course, in the soul seed where we have our two fingers, you know, pointer finger and our third finger, that point is where all of the guidance and information about each lifetime has its blueprint or has its possibility to be understood and integrated. And that's where guidance comes from. So sometimes parents are so challenged to find the monetary means or the resources to assist their children, or they're working too hard, they're working more than one job, there's more things happening than they are able to calculate or work with. So part of this for me, when I think about it, is let them come fully into their power so they have their own guidance, they have their own strength, and then they'll be kinder to the world. And of course, their children are the first they will be kinder to, you know, but they'll also be kinder to themselves. So this is a very important way to honor their own existence and to have them have the space to breathe through that. Perhaps at another time I can talk more about that. All right, TJ, did you want to say anything before I go on?
I just wanted to say that this is really absolutely fantastic, and I totally agree or see, I guess, what you're saying. It makes a lot of sense. We really can't, you know, you can't force something on somebody else, but you can share your light and make a difference. So onward I say. Thank you.
Okay, so the second thing I would like to talk about. Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Would you be all right if we took this exercise and shared it, like not just on the air, but individually, one-on-one? Would you be open to us doing that at workshops and putting it out that way?
Yes, I'm thinking that perhaps, Joy, that we can create a little package with different things in it that we could make possible. Maybe, you know, thinking about it in terms of your media, that we could have a little demonstration and a little packet that we make available to people with different things in it, because people are different stages of their age and of their relationships with birth and so forth. So if we had a whole package that from birth onward to transition, because of course at some point I would like to talk also about dying, in your words, in your language, dying, making transition into the light. So anyway, yes, please, we will continue to put all of these pieces together. Yes, they're lovely.
Right.
All right, so the second thing I want to talk about then is just the birthing in light. And, of course, there is a book that was written by the one speaking, Honoring Your Child's Spirit, which is about how to work with the unborn child and the fetus from the mother and the family. And that's a very good primer, you know, a good foundation book. When the child is born, the thing to remember is that there has been a union in the womb with the baby and the mother. And that union has been automatic, unconscious, and absolute because of the way that the child, or perhaps any species actually, is a part of the generation before that and the generation before that. So in this instance, when we're thinking about birthing, the important thing to understand is that when a child is first coming through the birth canal into the world, it's very important that they come through a bridge of light so that the light then is felt inside them and outside of them simultaneously. And in Sunlight on Water, the ones with no name speak about the hypothalamus and the picture that the hypothalamus takes of the amount of light that is present in the environment at birth. So all of this idea around how important light is would be helpful for people to comprehend and understand if they so choose to do that. There are these resources they can read and study. However, if you're just wanting to very briefly work with this experience of the bridge of light, imagine that from the belly of the mother, wherein there lies this fetus, this growing baby, there is a singular light inside the child at the same point we just touched, which is called the seed of light, and inside the mother, and we imagine those two lights becoming one. And then, as the birth proceeds, the one light, which contains the two, is taken through the birth canal and out into the world, and imagine it or use your hands to shape it around the child or whatever, that the one light that is comprised of the two is, let us just say, represented. So here it is represented outside of the person who just gave birth, mother, and it is represented around the child that has just been born. And then that one light that is actually two begins to be, let's just say, imprinted with the amount of light of those in attendance at the birth. So everyone in attendance at the birth, their soul seed light goes in to the one big light with the child, and then extended family that perhaps aren't present, those go in. And so we have this idea that the child begins to feel this infusion of light. Ah, oh, that's Uncle Tom's light. Oh, that's Aunt Jane's light. Oh, that must be my sister's light. So then there's this experience that the child, the newborn, has of how much light comprises their world at that moment. So that becomes, regardless of whether someone's awake or not to the fact that they have a seed of light and they carry light and there are light and all that, doesn't matter. What's important is that the consciousness of the child be introduced to the variations of light and at the same time the presence of light. And therefore, as a child goes through the first 2 years of life, where the fontanelle is open and it's very open to spiritual source, and when they're sleeping, they're meditating, really, you know, and you can sit with them and you can just travel with them and know that they are going all over all of the dimensions. They're aligning with the above and the below through these light beams of the people that they know and understand. Now, the other thing that's very important about this is that in the experience of being connected to the different vibrations and frequencies of the individuals in their world, they will learn to understand and translate the different variations in light content without judgment, fear, or separation. They will acknowledge, because it's happening very close to birth, it's as if it's being introduced as a new concept. So they'll know that Uncle Tom's energy may be extremely different than Uncle John's energy, and yet they are loved and held in this place. They are not compared, and they are not, it's not like the child says, oh, that one does this and that one. It's much more about excitement and curiosity and finding again a soul or an aspect of a soul or a connection with a soul that has been chosen for that lifetime. So the child then has this voluminous light-based reality that is opened to many, many opportunities for distinct clarity about how life here works, because they see this one does this, but that one doesn't, and this one has this kind of mood, but that one doesn't. And instead of taking it personally, like, oh, I'm this separate energy, and I'm by myself, and I have to in some way figure things out, it is all woven throughout the texture of their consciousness, so that light becomes the basis through which they relate. And this then opens the child to much more profound experiences with the universe, much a longer remembrance of that connection. And then up until the age of two, we're saying to the child every day, the mother, the parents, the caregiver, whoever's in the environment, you are light and light you shall remain, three times each day, doesn't matter when. And what happens then is that the child is hearing the words, the vibration of the words. Perhaps the caregiver would touch the soul seed and maybe even the incarnative point, and with a hand on the back, you know, to just kind of hold that space. The child can be awake or asleep. It's just important to say it out loud, because the vibration will be experienced by the cells of the body of the child. And we're having this very strong way of relating to the consciousness of oneness and union and heart and kindness and soul and all these wonderful things just through light. So if someone believes something specific about God or about Source or the universe, or doesn't believe something specific or doesn't want to know about it or whatever, it doesn't matter, because light is a non-threatening concept. Light has this, everyone loves light, you know, because light is bright and it opens things and you can see when it's light outside. So it's more about sharing than it is about believing. And that's what the difference might be, that might be supportive. And then when children are growing a little bit, 2, 3, 4, 5, what's happening in their bodies is that they are adjusting their internal chakra system to presence and grounding on this planet. So they're moving away from, in that first 2 years, this tremendous connection above. And they're learning to get their feet on the ground and to walk, and they're learning what language is, and they're learning how to take what their consciousness is telling them and translate it into words and actions. So that's a very important time for them to have light as a foundation. And then as they grow, to have this ability to go into their own soul seed, so that you teach the child, this is where I go when I feel some kind of sadness, or I'm not understanding something, or I'm a little confused, or I don't feel good about myself, or something happened that made me feel like I wasn't able to help, or I'm seeing things that I don't understand, or whatever that is, that they're taught to put their fingers on their soul seed and breathe in there when they go to sleep, particularly just to kind of breathe in there, breathe out, and feel what that feels like. When someone is with a child that is upset, to put them on their lap and say, let's touch this place. This will help to make things seem easier. And maybe we'll get some answers from this place, which has this wisdom in it that we can connect to and understand. And let's see what this has to say. And children can name their soul. They can have a color. They can make a picture of it. All of these things are very important, because in developing the connection in a non-religious way, there is then, no matter what the influences in the external conditioning might be, there's a sense that the child has the autonomy to really work with their own consciousness in the way that they want to. And once they're taught, then you can observe, do they do this? You know, when do they do this? And is there a way that I could support that, or engender that more readily and easily in different situations? So there is that opportunity to really have them rest in this place as they go to sleep. The other thing, of course, is when they're having some challenge with their energy alignment, to set that incarnative point again in the solar plexus, and to sit with the solar plexus energy at the bottom and the soul seed right above that, and have that little energy vortex there helps them balance their other centers and go into their heart and rest in that space. And then it makes the outer world less, well, brass, you know, incorporating into their own presence, you know, like it's pushing against them from the outside, you know. So when they put their hands on their soul seed and their incarnative point, then they move their energy out. So then they have more of an opportunity to, in some way, affect the outer world and not feel like they're a victim of what's happening around them. They then come up with more bold activities, more understanding, you know, things like that. So they have more confidence. But they have confidence that is not engendered from anger or reaction, rather from a place within them that has eternal wisdom. And they're in a situation, this is one of the things that I'm talking about in the new book that I'm writing with the one speaking in with Jane Stewart. They have chosen to be in that situation for some reason. And therefore, each individual, whether it's a child or an adult, has an ability to affect a situation that they're in, regardless of how tremendously overwhelming it might be, or maybe even dangerous, you know. In each situation, if you're present in that situation, you have a key to resolving it within yourself, should you wish to activate that part of yourself that has that wisdom. And this is a very exciting idea, you know, that no matter where people are in their experience, they could be homeless, they could be having a disease diagnosis, doesn't matter what it is, there's a sense of, let's go inside and feel into this space that I'm in the moment. What is it that I have the ability to do from this heart-centered response as light that I can then move into my world to shift the parameters and the experiences so that they reflect the truth of who I am in this moment and my capacity in this moment to affect the world at large? So these are ideas that it would be really very much helpful for each of you to engender in the world, share, and put forward in any way that you choose to do so.
So, Mary, I very often run across situations where sometimes the parents are not open. And I just want to add this in. In cases like that, what I do is speak speak to the children telepathically and affirm that they are light from the time they're born. So I send the messages that way so they can feel it vibrationally. And I wonder if there is any other suggestions you would have about that per se, where you know a child is coming in and the parents are totally closed off from hearing any of this.
Well, the most important thing as a facilitator of light, which of course you are, Joy, and others that will listen will be as well, is to utilize your own seed of light, therefore, as the mother of the child, or the father, or the father of the child, or the caregiver of the child, or that one which brings the kindness to restore order in the situation. Because we know if someone is not open to light, that their mind is in the way. That's the only reason that they would not be open to light, is because their mind is telling them something. So what you're doing really is saying that you are bringing forth, and this is something that you don't need permission to do because you're not doing anything really. you're asking your own consciousness to stand as a witness to the divinity of the child. That's all you're really saying. And so you open your soul seed light, and you spark that light, and then you connect that light with the child's light, in utero or not. Doesn't matter where the child is. And that spark, it's the two-in-one idea that's most important. Optimally, of course, the biological parents working in that way would be the most optimal, but at the same time, you know, you are a godmother to many children. And so this is about order. It's not about fighting someone's belief system. You know, it's just about, okay, so I'm going to do this for each person that I know, whether they're born yet or not, whether they've made transition into another dimension and they're not even physically present on the earth, it doesn't matter. So the two-in-one idea of settling, and it's actually three, right? Because you have the light, you have your soul seed and their soul seed, so it's kind of like the three-in-one that Christ talked about. The idea is that we are all light to start with. And I have written a very wonderful piece of literature, short literature, it's called Origin. And the one speaking is getting ready to publish it as a, what you would say, an e-book. And it is about how we're all light and how, as one light, we diversified and became many lights. And therefore, as we became more form, our light was then more, let's just say, intrinsic, wasn't as obvious. And so now we're at a place of evolution where the light is not as visible at all. It's very deep inside of us. So by bringing the light out, by bringing it into the awareness of many people and opening them to these experiences, we are saying, oh, let's go back to our origin of oneness. Let's all remember it. And so you'll find that people begin to shift their perspective. They might not want light to be there, but they will be lighter. And that's what we're looking for, isn't it? It's just to lighten up everybody and bring the light into the experience where it has an opportunity to remind people, help them remember that there's really no separation. And then we have peace, which is that optimal space of union, yeah.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much for that. It's wonderful, wonderful. TJ?
Yes, I'm still here. Just waiting my turn. You speak of the light, which is also, I guess, you could phrase it as the love as well. Is that what we're, I've heard it said so many different ways, but sending the love out as well, right?
Well, you are, one is sending the light out because there is no separation, which means there is only union. And union has within it. So it is creative, you know, so the creative energy has in it light, order, truth, and union. So in those four aspects of creation, light, order, truth, and union, love is the expression of creation in any one of those particular aspects. So love is like a common denominator that opens the consciousness of each individual to receive the light that's inherent, or the truth, or the union, or the order. And so the thing that happens, as I see it, one of those four areas of creation will move away from optimal recognition and, let's just say, action or utilization. So something will be out of order. So that's physical health not working real well. It's clinically having something happen physically that doesn't necessarily bring health, well-being, or comfort. And or things being out of order could mean that there is a lack of connection between the elements of one's life. Things just are too fast, they're too slow, there's not enough. You know, that's order. So then there's light, and light is the optimal space of vibration. There's truth, which is basically oneness, and everyone that has access to the soul seed will find, and this is where it's very different, they'll find that there is truth in there that connects and aligns with everybody else's truth. So we don't have this situation where someone's truth makes everybody else mad, or what you would say, you know, they would be pissed off. the thing about being in truth, real truth, is that everybody has a pathway that they're following, and it is okay with everybody else that that pathway be followed by them, and everyone can agree that all of their pathways are leading to one place. So that's, you know, and then, of course, we have union, which is the physical experience of oneness within the being. So love is what is greasing this wheel, in my opinion, between all of these things, bringing these things into more balance so that there can be light. Because love has so many connotations in your society, ways in which it has to be lived. Oh, if I love you, this has to happen. Oh, I have this expectation because of this and that. So love has become, so if it's heart-centered feeling that is united with soul seed actualization and grounded through incarnative anchoring of purity, then that is the kind of love that we're talking about. And that happens automatically. It's an algebraic equation. If you have soul seed open and you have incarnative point grounded, heart opens automatically. If you open heart, open soul seed, incarnative point grounds automatically, and so forth. So it is an algebraic equation. You know, if you have two, then you have the three, because there is a, what you might call like a lots of energy. You know, there's a force. It's magnifying. It's a critical mass kind of energy. So yes, love. However, I just want to be clear about it, because many times there will be wisdom that comes through the soul seed. And the wisdom will be strong wisdom. And it isn't namby-pamby kind of love. It's this wisdom that has love in it, that acts from truth and honors all life and all beingness, and doesn't have that place in it of non-strength. In other words, there's no accommodation in it sometimes, and it's still love. Does this make sense?
Yes.
Absolutely.
So it's a non-accommodating space. It's not going to love in the way of, well, I want to do this so you'll approve of me, or I want to do this so you'll do this with me, or I want to do this so you'll stay with me. It's very different. And that's why, in my opinion, many individuals do not go there because they are afraid of the change that might be created if they created this boundary within themselves, that something else would be a result of that boundary that they would not necessarily feel ready to experience or to co-create with someone. So that's why there are many ways in which the light and the love is woven together and feels sometimes like a sword. Because when you send love around a container, for example, let's say there is a perpetrator in an environment and there is an opportunity for individuals in a family to consolidate their energy to become this huge block of love and light, and it's very strong. They love each other, so they want this to happen. They want to protect the children. They want to open to experience their alignment with being and truth, and they want to say no to everyone who would in any way come in that space without that vibration of love and light, right? So what they're going to put out there is a sword that says, do not cross this line. Because this is the line that we, in our free will, have determined is now ours to hold. So it will not feel like love. It will feel like a wall to someone who would want to, in some way, intrude on that experience of the container of that light and love. So I just wanted to be really clear about it. It isn't, because love sometimes in your experience is defined by softness. And love is the hardest, essence, actually, because love cannot be destroyed or reduced. Right? So I just wanted to make that clear.
That's a really good point, and I agree. I look at it like if you project strong enough love, you really almost are untouchable, you know, and some people, like you say, are going to experience that and maybe not feel that, but it's a way you can protect yourself, light, love, those kind of things. So unconditional, I guess, love is what I'm coming from, this love without conditions that comes from the source that you just beam at people. I've done it before, so... Thank you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what TJ said when you were describing it, the same word came to me. This is actually what unconditional love is, because it doesn't require approval or anything back from anyone. It's firm, and it protects what it needs to protect while loving the whole. So that's beautiful.
Well, it always seems to be that when someone is in that place where they're looking at someone outside of the container and they recognize that person doesn't have that same amount of light available to them in their conscious perception, this is very important, because unconditional love literally means no matter what someone does, love is there. Right, so that love is not reduced or changed by the behavior of anyone at all. It's not reduced or changed at all, ever, about anything. And that is a very beautiful and somewhat rare experience for human beings to have, because there's so many ways in which love has been defined and been, in some ways, conditioned on behavior or activities, or what someone has or doesn't have, or does or doesn't do. So this idea that the unconditional love is inherent means that it is, as TJ says, source-guided, source-directed, and source-infused. And it's also then coming through the soul seed from that original point of light. So that then offers an opportunity to each individual to not judge themselves, therefore, because they're in the presence of a non-judging space, which they then know for the first time sometimes is available to them. So when we talk about protection, I want to be very clear here. Protection is available to the individual sending the light, because the individual receiving the light sees themselves as one who is capable of experiencing themselves as light, and therefore they are no longer threatening. It's not that you're putting a wall up to protect yourself. I just want to be very clear about that. So protection comes from being in the space of truth with light, in union, unconditional love, all these wonderful things, and making that available to everybody so that they don't feel like they are so bad that they have to continue to be bad, or so alienated that they have to continue to alienate themselves. You see, this is a very sophisticated way, really, if you think about it, you know, very sophisticated way of bringing this truth of oneness into every single situation. And it's not always simple to do, because we have reactions when people do things, and they have to all be tempered and worked with within ourselves before we can affect a shift with someone else. So it's always an inside job, as you seem to say, Miss Joy.
Mm-hmm. I'm feeling that what you said is an important piece for people to hear and understand what protection really is, because people have all different kinds of perception around that. There are people that fight to protect, and this offers a viable option that doesn't involve violence, too, which feels really important, especially now.
Well, yes, it does. And protection normally means that there's a separation. I have to separate from you to be safe.
Mm-hmm.
And how about if it wasn't that way at all? How about if it was, I'm joining with you so that we're both safe?
Yeah, that's beautiful. Oh, we love you, Mary.
Well, I love you too. It's my opportunity, you know. You're both all, actually three of you, very special lights. And you are already carrying this vibration. And so this is an opportunity for others carrying this vibration to join together in these ideas, and then share these ideas in the world and move these ideas into the human consciousness, because many times beliefs stem from experiences that do not know how to be translated by the psyche.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're re-examining many of the ways in which children particularly are brought up in the society, many societies actually, and it's different in each society, and yet in some ways it's the same, because each society has an enemy, and each society has a history or a herstory of, well, what this other person or people or culture or country did to them, or it's just all so inculcated into the children. It's unconscious how people walk down the street and they go a different way if somebody else is on the street, and the child feels that and doesn't understand it, and then starts to do it themselves because, well, what else are they going to do? This is where they grow up. This is what they learn, and it just keeps filtering through to them. You know, so we want to be very clear, particularly, you know, when they're very young and we're starting with this idea that the light that they are, and they're able to translate the family members as light, that becomes a very exciting way for them to actually begin to, let's just say, evaluate their reality in this new place.
I know we're running out of time. I'm a little distracted because I saw that. So I know there were other things you wanted to cover, too. I think you had something else you wanted to share, too, Mary. Right.
Well, I want to make sure that we have the birthing in utero, and through the experience of the birthing, having the experience around each individual who is born, and then also to have, as they grow, to bring that soul seed energy to their awareness at different times during challenge as they grow up. Those were the things I really wanted to make sure that we covered as a kind of basis for this process of integration and alignment for the children. Now, in terms of the perpetrators, what we want to encourage, if we have the container in the family, and those people that you're working with, Joy, and others who actually are utilizing light as a way to bring peace to the family and to the children, those children who have already experienced some kind of a challenge, let's say, of traumatic proportions, need to have light baths every night. So the whole body, instead of like getting into the bathtub, which they could do as well, but the idea that they are going to be immersed in a bathtub of light, and that every part, every pore of their body, every cell of their body is going to receive light, and that light is going to flow through them. And this can happen, you know, their parents can do it when they're in bed, or they can do it actually when they're in the bathtub, or they can experience it, you know, in whatever way works. But the idea is that the child speaks about light, the light comes in and moves through and is actually cleansing these pathways of memory and experience, so that the light baths, and every day for 7 days is a minimum, probably, for assisting. And what will happen is it will very gradually but very steadily remove trauma. Anyone can do this at any age, actually. It doesn't matter, you know, how old they are, but thinking about children, it would be helpful for children. When something is acknowledged. Now, the other thing is, of course, and you'll have to stop me for time when it's time, Joy, but the other thing, of course, is to acknowledge when a child begins to act differently in any way about anything, give them a light bath. So they may not tell you anything is wrong, but you can sense something is wrong, give them a light bath. You can hold them in your arms and surround them in a light bath just then, just when you're holding them or hugging them. Or when you're sitting reading stories at night, you can have this light bath. Because the thing that wants to happen is everyone in the family wants to be in this light sphere all the time.
Okay.
So then you'll know, like, you're going someplace, you're a mother, you're going someplace, and you'll say, our light sphere is changing its frequency. I'm going to put more light in right now. You don't know why, but you have this sense of you're in very deep connection with every single part of that light container and what's happening in it. And it can be just be, you know, that the husband's getting a parking ticket, doesn't matter. It's this sense of that there's an alignment happening that is extremely important, or it's moving out of alignment, and that can then be helped by adding more light to the situation.
Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much. I know I'll be using it. And it's amazing because in our connection, there are visions of things I have, which sometime I'd love to chat with you about concerning safe houses. And it was so amazing to hear you speak of these things today, which seems to give direction to the individuals on how to deal with abuse and how to raise the consciousness with the child and the family so that they're vibrating only that frequency of heaven and light. And there's so many things here that you said that gave through messages that I don't know if you, I know how you operate, and I think you intended it, but I'm smiling because it actually covered some of these questions I had. So thank you so much for all your input and being so generous with all that you are. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Yes.
I can say the same things for you, you know.
Well, I
have to say the same thing for both of you, your generosity. Your generosity is beautiful.
You're welcome.
Well, it's very interesting because Rosalind came on while you were speaking, and as you know, Rosalind channels your mom, so I just thought I'd introduce Rosalind to you today, too. So, hello, Rosalind. This is Mary we're speaking to, as you know.
Hello, Rosalind. Are you there? Hello.
somebody came and got on and then got off because she heard of finishing, you
okay.
know. So
I see.
Yeah,
I see.
But I felt her come in, so that's really cool. So anyway, I hate to have to stop the show, but thank you again for coming on. You're amazing, and we'd love to have you on again if you want to come. That it'd be awesome.
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Thank you very much, Mary.
Thank you.
Yes. Yes. So I want to wish our listeners light-filled days and hope that you are taking in the info here and being blessed in every way. And thank you again, Mary, for coming on, and Flo. Bless you for coming on and giving your time and your energy and your heart to all that you do.
Thank you, Joy.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, TJ.
You're welcome.